You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for tuning into the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, November 3rd. I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify, and please leave the show a good iTunes review. While you're doing so, leave your Twitter handle in there, and you'll have a chance to win a contest where we will be giving away a free Pro Football Focus subscription. Well, folks, there are just some games where everything you do goes right. And the Jets had one of those last night. They beat the Buffalo Bills 34-21, and the score was not really indicative of the extent to which the Jets dominated this game. The Bills got a couple of scores in garbage time, and Jets dropped an onside kick, which has some people, I was tweeted at last night. People were angry that the Jets gave up a couple garbage time scores, and they were gonna, they didn't show how they could finish a game, and they lacked killer instinct. The only problem is that the game was already put away, because the Jets did show killer instinct in this game. I mean, look, we know the last month they've not finished. They finished this game relatively early last night, and it was a game where, as I said, everything went right. I mean, the Jets blow a blocking assignment up front, allow a free pass rusher up the middle, unblocked, gets in these sacks, and he grabs Josh McCown's face mask as he's sacking him. I mean, the Jets forget to touch a guy down. He gets up and fumbles. Now, it was a good play by Marcus May to strip him, but it's just that kind of night for the Jets. But really, the story of the night was, it wasn't luck. It was the Jets played a tremendous football game. This was as good of an effort as you could have hoped for. It was a better effort than you could have hoped for. And, you know, watching this game, I had the sense that the crowd was very good. And that's also what I've heard from some firsthand accounts. And give the tip of the cap to the fans, because when this schedule came out, and a lot of people thought the Jets were not going to have a very good team, I was among them. And when this schedule came out, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, November Thursday night game, oh boy. I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a very easy ticket to get on certain ticket sites, like our good friend SeatGeek. And I'm thinking, man, this may be an empty stadium, but it wasn't. It sounded like there was energy in the place, and I've heard some firsthand accounts. It sounds like it was an excellent crowd last night. So great job by the fans getting out there on Thursday night. The Jets also showed you once again that this is a pretty resilient group. 3-game losing streak feels like things are starting to fall apart, and just as they did when they had the 2-game losing streak to start the year, they responded in a big way. They went out and blew out a division rival at home. And I'll add another little nugget to that, is they did not let a bad call in the first half really faze them. And I'm talking about the touchdown that was wiped off, the Austin Seferian Jenkins play, which at best, I thought that was a borderline call. And that's at best. I mean, I thought that there was some contact on both ends. I kind of see where they were coming from with that call, but I think that that was a very rough call. I did not agree with that call. But you can't let a bad call impact you. That's something I always say. Now, that call against New England a couple weeks ago, I mean, that was an all-timer. And the point of a game it came, and it was just such an over-the-top bad call. It was like cartoonishly bad. That's one thing, but run-of-the-mill bad calls, they happen to your team. They're just a part of the game, and you have to be able to overcome them. We all know the refs are bad in this league. That's just the way it is. Everybody thinks that the refs have some conspiracy against them. There's no conspiracy. I don't think the officiating... See, the problem with the whole idea that there's a conspiracy is that that would require competence. To pull off a conspiracy, you have to be competent. And I don't see how anybody can watch the way this league is officiated and think that there's competence. There's just a lot of bad officiating, the guys who just don't make good calls. So you know that going in. So you just have to overcome it. One play should not impact the game in the second quarter. And the Jets came back, and they came back, and they really dominated the Buffalo Bills. So credit to this team, and I'll tell you, credit to the coaching staff. Excellent game plan, Casey Rogers. Rogers is a guy who takes a lot of grief, and I think not totally unfairly in many instances, came up with a great game plan. You know, consistently spying, consistently rushing five, and it was the blitzes, it was the pass rush. And I'm going to go back to something I said on yesterday's show. On yesterday's show, I talked about how the pass rushers needed to stay in their lane, and the Jets got a lot of sacks in this game. They did. But it was a controlled pass rush. See, that's the thing. That's the key, is that they contained Tyrod Taylor to the pocket. Everybody was staying in their lane. And that was the reason for the blitz. They were trying to eliminate Tyrod Taylor's running lanes by putting a guy in each lane he could run in. And their job was to stay home. You did not want any Eric Smith against Tim Tebow just flying out of control, running overrunning a play. You needed these guys to stay in control, be disciplined, and collapse the pocket. And that was exactly what these guys did. That's exactly what they did. And the goal was force Tyrod Taylor to make quick reads, force him to get it out quickly, force him to throw against man coverage. That's not his game. It's not something he likes doing. And on yesterday's show, in our preview show, we talked about, I threw out a comparison I've heard, Taylor to Alex Smith. And there's some good with that. I mean, Taylor's not a guy that makes a ton of mistakes, just like Alex Smith. But one of the things Alex Smith's notorious for is staring down open receivers and not throwing the ball. And that's something Tony Romo talked about it. Tony Romo's talked about how Tyrod Taylor sometimes doesn't let it rip when he's got an open receiver. And Jets did a good job there. And, you know, it's funny because I watched a little bit of the NFL Network post-game show, and they were talking about how the Bills didn't have receivers who were winning. And, I mean, I thought the Bills receivers did a fine job. Now, I'll have to watch the film to see some of the less successful plays. Seems like the Bills receivers weren't having any trouble getting open, though. It just seemed like Taylor wasn't delivering the ball. And that goes back to Jets knew what his weaknesses were, and they did a great job putting together a game plan and executing that game plan. Because, again, you know, as I'm watching this game, I'm thinking about what I said in this Thursday, in our Thursday show. And I'm thinking, you know, I mentioned how sacks were not necessarily the end-all, and I'm thinking, well, somebody's going to come back at me with this, but that's not the point. Of course, you eventually want to get sacks. The key was it was a controlled pass rush. Those guys did their job. Those guys did exactly what I was saying, is they did not give him running lanes. They constricted him to the pocket, and when you constrict Tyrod Taylor to the pocket, good things are going to happen to you defensively. And the guy who maybe deserves the most credit is a man who suddenly looks reborn, and that's Muhammad Wilkerson. And Muhammad Wilkerson is starting to look like Muhammad Wilkerson again. Now, one thing you do have to point out is that he was playing against an offensive lineman. He was, most of the night, he was lined up against an offensive lineman, Vlad Dukas, who, not that great. And from a Jets perspective, you know that firsthand, because he was a second-round pick in the year 2010 for this team, and second-round pick has long been an area where the Jets have struggled. You have a few exceptions. David Harris 10 years ago. Marcus May, again, looking good this year. But not the most difficult matchup. At the same time, though, if you look at the last 2 years, there have been plenty of matchups Wilkerson should have dominated that he did not. So I think you got to give him some credit when he does go out there, do his job, and control his matchup. And he was a force in this game. He added his second sack in 2 weeks. He knocked a pass down, and he was just constantly in the backfield. It was a excellent effort by Muhammad Wilkerson. He's, as I said, he's looking like Muhammad Wilkerson again. He's looking like the dominant force he used to be. You know, this one of the things people forget is that, you know, the last 2 years has led to a lot of frustration with his play. Wilkerson used to be a guy who was just unblockable for opposing offenses. And he could, I mean, he was lining up everywhere. He was lining up, you know, right over the ball on passing downs. He was lining up defensive end in a four-man front at the three technique. He was so versatile. It was versatile, and he was dominant. Nobody could block him. And these last couple weeks, we're starting to see the old Muhammad Wilkerson return to form. And, you know, is it a case where maybe that broken leg, you know, maybe that injury he suffered back at the end of 2015 is finally starting to get right? I don't know, but very encouraging sign. And really all up and down the front seven, just a dominant effort Steve McClendon had a good game. Leonard Williams on the sack sheet got a half, split a sack with McClendon, and he again Williams was looking dominant, and the two middle linebackers also looked pretty good, Darren Lee and Demario Davis. And I don't think it's an accident. I'll tell you, I don't think it's an accident that Lee's revival has happened at the same time as Wilkerson's revival. You know, suddenly Lee's looking good. Well, when the Jets drafted Lee, this was my thought was, at the time they had a really good defensive line, my thought was, all right, well, Lee's not a great guy at shedding blocks, and that's going to have to get a little better. I mean, you can't play in this league if you can't get off a block at all, or at least you can't play in this scheme if you can't get off a block at all. And I said, well, they're going to be able to limit the number of times he can get blocks, and Lee, for whatever issues his game has, he's a pretty good north-to-south player. When something's in front of him, he can go get it. He can go get the ball. And he's had to fight in a lot of traffic early this season. Well, now that Wilkerson's having his little renaissance, Lee doesn't have to fight off as many blocks. And last 3 weeks, Wilkerson's been looking really good, and Lee's had his best three-week stretch probably of his career. And I don't think that's an accident. I think the things are finally starting to fall into place for this defense up front. And that's a good sign for the Jets. And it's also a good sign because, I'll tell you, the way Lee started this season, it was very difficult to have hope, because for most players, the biggest improvement they make is for a lot of players, I'm not sure, maybe not most, but for a lot of players, the biggest improvement they make is between year one and year two, because you got a full season, you know, you got the playbook under your belt, you now mentally know how to prepare for a season, you understand the commitment it takes, you have a full off season to work with the coaches, and it was showing almost no dividends with Lee. Now, there's still a long way to go with him. I think we have a long way to go before we feel good about this pick, but you're at least seeing some steps in the right direction, and that's a positive thing. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, the story was the run game. Passing game really didn't do a whole lot and didn't have to do a whole lot. And the way this Jets team is built, I think the objective is going to be to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands. I don't think Josh McCown was relevant. He was kind of erratic in this game. He made some good throws, made some very suspect throws, got away with a few. And that's kind of the formula for the Jets to win, is the less McCown, the better. Matt Forte, who, of course, made some headlines over the last week talking about the play calling, played a big role in this game. And tell you, one of the things that I always say is that if you're going to put your name in the paper like that, you better back it up. And Forte did a pretty good job backing it up, had a couple touchdowns, 77 yards on 14 carries, and added in four catches, 19 yards. I'll tell you, he has no speed left. And you can see, it's something I've noticed all year, and even in the broadcast view last night, I could tell you Forte left a lot of yards on the field. And it's just, he doesn't have speed left. He can't make guys miss anymore. But he just found a way to be effective. Whether it's reading his blocks, understanding the scheme, or just grinding out yardage, just, you know, lowering that shoulder, grinding out a few extra yards after contact. It was an effective game for Forte. You know, he backed up his talk. Bilal Powell broke off some big runs. Heck, he was one holding penalty away from a 100-yard game on 10 carries. He broke some big runs, a 51-yarder set up a Forte touchdown. And so, you know, that's what you want. And Elijah McGuire, not a big statistical game, but I'll tell you, he makes some ridiculous cuts. He's got some moves. And they stuck him back there in the punt return, the punt returner. Nice, broke up a 10-yard return, which 10 yards is a good punt return. That's a very good punt return. And he made something out of nothing, because that was not blocked that well. He made a couple of guys miss. It looks like they're giving him a shot as a returner. And now, ball security is always the question with rookies. That's something that we'll find out about, because teams are going to be going for the ball against rookies. McGuire, of course, had a fumble against Miami late in that game. So that's an issue, but he looks explosive when he has the ball in his hands. So the Jets are going to see if they can get something out of him, and, you know, hopefully he'll protect the ball. But McGuire, you know, these three backs, I think they all looked pretty good last night. And McGuire, who had the least success statistically may be the most explosive. I think, you know, his issues may have traced back to they didn't block it quite as well when he was playing. Robbie Anderson, I'll tell you, not a huge statistical game, but got open deep for a touchdown. I'll tell you, he's, say what you will, the man can run the deep route. And he did that again, scored a touchdown. Only four catches, only 48 yards, but 25-yard touchdown. And beat Tre'Davious White, who is having an excellent rookie year, looking like a really solid rookie. So, great job by Anderson. And the last guy I'll mention, we'll go back to the defensive side of the ball, is just Jordan Jenkins, who had a pair of sacks. And, you know, what's funny is he had two sacks. Neither was really a spectacular pass rush where he beat a guy off the edge. But they were both really good plays. The first was, I think it may have been the first play the Bills ran, where Jenkins just did not bite on a bootleg. And they left him unblocked by design because they were hoping he'd overrun the play. And he just went and got Tyrod Taylor on the fake. And Taylor is not an easy, you know, Taylor's a pretty explosive guy with his legs. And Jenkins just destroyed that play. And the second was a hustle play. He did a good job on that. Did a good job setting the edge all night. It's like I said, I'm not detracting from the game. Jenkins played a tremendous game. I'm just stating how it's kind of funny because they were both very good plays. Just neither is what you think of when you think of sack, where guys like dominating as a pass rusher. But very good game by Jenkins, and really just a really good game all around. I mean, you could have some quibbles. You could say that, you know, the corners didn't play well. There are certain things you can question. The good hands team was anything but. They dropped an onside kick, but the game was over by that point. Really, you have to be happy, and Jets are now 4-5, and they got a few extra days to prepare. I'll tell you, these weekends are either great or they're miserable, because you're either going into the weekend with a Jets win, or you're going into it with a loss. So you can either, so if you win, you can just enjoy the weekend, because like you can watch some other football and be like, well, the Jets already won. If they lose, so it beats the heck out of losing, because if they lose, then you're miserable all weekend. You've already lost heading into the weekend. Jets won, and they looked great doing it. And, I mean, all I can tell you is the NFL season gives you a lot of weeks where you're just going to be miserable, so you got to cherish the ones where the team looks great. So if you're a Jets fan, I think you should cherish this day, because this was an excellent performance by this football team, and it was a win they needed to have, because I've been saying it for weeks. 3-3 could turn into 3-7 very quickly, and it looked like it may have been on the verge. And you got to give this team credit, because they took three very difficult losses in a row. Coming back on a short week and playing like that, you have to be encouraged. You have to like what you saw. They did a great job. Thanks for tuning in today. You did a great job listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Spotify. Give it a good rating. Leave your Twitter handle. Maybe you can win a Pro Football Focus subscription. We will be back again on Monday. Hope you have a great weekend, and just enjoy a victory weekend.